Can the dead visit us in dreams? And if so, what kind of information can they give us to help us on the other side?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com as well. If you want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and the archive of episodes, which has the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in it, sign up to be an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help us stay on the air. We greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, Tony, not a whole lot.
No.
You know, just hanging out.
Keeping it real?
Yeah, keeping it real and stuff. And that's about it.
It's good.
I really don't have anything.
I got some gravestones in the mail this week.
Like, what do you mean by that?
And gravestones. Who doesn't get gravestones in the mail every now and then?
Me? You know? I don't.
Why not? They're really fun.
I've never gotten a gravestone. Like a for real big one?
They are so fun to get in the mail.
The Halloween styrofoamy kind?
Yes, it is. I found a guy on Etsy that makes them, like, from scratch and makes them really cool, like, hand makes them. And I ordered a bunch because I would do that. And I wanted to get them before the season gets, you know, underway because they're going to have a demand on order. So I'm just kind of starting to plan my Halloween scene for the front yard. It's not
okay. So it is Halloween related.
Yes, it's all in planning. I'm not putting it out there yet. We have to get at least to September for that. But
when do you decorate?
This year, I'm going to start in September. After Labor Day is when I'm going to do it. And, you know, it'll probably be in September. And yeah, and that's what I'm going to do. I have no one telling me I can't. So I'm going to do
Hell
that.
No.
And we love Halloween. And it's, I'd rather enjoy it for a little while. So, yeah.
And your daughter loves it.
Yeah. So it'll be great. And got that. Just starting to think about what I want to do and how we're going to do it. We're making a graveyard. But I got some really cool gravestones. I'm really excited about them because they look legitimately real.
What is it about them that you love so much?
The size, the lettering, they look very real. They look very much not like the ones you get in the, you know, 3 for $10 at Lowe's. These are very well done. It's like stuff you'd see at it's like a professional prop house made them.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, I'm going to up the game on the graveyard this year. And then we'll see what else I can come up with.
How many, when one buys tombstones like you do?
Yes.
How many does one buy?
I bought, I think there's 6 regular ones. And then there's one that's kind of like the square kind of tower type thing that looks like a statuesque type thing. And then I bought an entrance, 2... like gate entrance things that
that's cool.
It was one of those things where I've been watching this, I've been wanting to get this, I'm like, I'm getting this, we're gonna make this really cool, but I better get it now. So I'm excited, and I know a lot of people are starting to think about decorating for Halloween. By the time this thing airs, we're getting closer and closer. The stores are getting their stuff out. That was
That happened after Memorial Day or something stupid like that.
Well, I think the normal stores are around now is when it starts to come out. But yeah, like your craft stores had stuff in Memorial Day.
Yeah,
I remember the earliest I saw it a while back was when Harper was born. And I remember I had to run into a big hardware store for something. And they had Halloween stuff out. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And then I went back and, saw Baby Harper. But it was like Halloween stuff. It's a double win today. I get a child and the Halloween stuff is out at the store.
This is everything a guy could want.
Everything I could possibly want or need. So, anyway.
I have never in my life decorated for Halloween.
You're missing
out. I'm just
going
to say that. I have never done one thing. I think I carved, I mean, maybe when I was a kid, but I did go to like one pumpkin carving party like 20 years ago.
We always, it's like the thing we always forget to get done is carving the pumpkins because we're doing so many other things.
And the funny thing is my friend and I went to this and it was a bunch of artists, like these really cool, hip people who do amazing art. Mm-hmm. Why we got invited to the party, I don't know. But my pumpkin, like their pumpkins were so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And then mine's like a pumpkin. And that's probably why I haven't decorated or anything since. It like took it out of me.
That's
like
funny.
I can't.
That's great.
I can't compete with the cool kids.
I did an Amityville pumpkin a couple years ago, and that turned out pretty well. But the pumpkins, you know, they only last so long, and then it's like, okay. There's some pretty good fake pumpkins now that you can carve, and they look pretty darn real. I'm all about trying to extend the life of the pumpkin.
Yeah, because they don't last very long.
Yeah, exactly.
And my problem is I don't like the smell.
Yeah, that's another big thing.
I don't.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first one. It says, "Hey, guys, I'm addicted to Real Ghost Stories Online, and I'm so excited to share my story. I've only told these stories to people who are close to me, and I'm relieved to know other people experience similar dreams. I'm 54 years old and have lived my whole life in New Orleans. In Slidell, Louisiana. I come from a large family and we are all still here living in the same city. The first time I can recall having a visitation dream was in my late teens. My grandfather was in the hospital and we all knew it was not going to be long before he died. We left the hospital after visiting him and I went to bed shortly after getting home. I was in that semi-conscious state right before you really fall asleep. I opened my eyes and saw a black figure standing at the foot of my bed. It was just a shadow and only lasted a few seconds, but I knew it was my grandfather coming to tell me goodbye. Moments later, the telephone rang and I heard someone coming up the stairs. My mother entered my room, but before she could say anything, I said, 'I know, Papa died. He came to see me.' We hugged each other and I went back to sleep. Another visitation dream happened when I was a young adult. This time it was my grandmother who had died at the age of 83 of heart failure. She passed when my oldest daughter was a toddler. This night was only time that she had ever visited. My daughter was about 8 years old and she was sick with the flu. She was asleep in her bed down the hall from my bedroom, where I too was asleep. In my dream, I remember my grandmother standing by the side of my bed. She was wearing a light blue flowered blouse that she always wore when she was alive. Her mouth did not move, but she just looked at me and told me I needed to go check on my daughter. I woke up and got out of bed and checked on my daughter. As I headed down the hall, I saw my grandmother kind of fade into the wall adjacent to my daughter's bedroom door. I went straight to my daughter and felt her head. She was burning up with fever. I woke up my husband and we checked her temperature. It was 104 degrees. We immediately put her into a tub of cool water and gave her medication to bring down the fever. She was fine by morning. I'm so grateful that my grandmother came to me that night to help my daughter, who knows what might have happened if she had not. My most memorable visitation dream was by my deceased father. My father was diagnosed with cancer when he was 65 years old. He fought the dreaded disease for 2 years until it finally took his life. During those years, my father and I became awfully close. I went to every doctor appointment, radiation treatment, and infusions. Every day I'd visit him and we would watch TV together in my parents' living room. One night I got up to leave and he grabbed my hand as I passed his chair and stopped me. I said, 'What do you need, Dad?' He told me that he loved me, which were words he had difficulty saying. Even though I knew my father loved me, it touched my heart. With tears in my eyes, I said, 'I love you too.' A few nights later, we were talking and I told him, 'You know, that I'm just like Mama. Promise me you'll come to let me know you're okay.' His mother was very spiritual and sensitive to things. 'I'm just like her.' He told me that he would. Well, it was about a month after he died before he came to me. I remember it was like it was yesterday, even though 15 years have passed since he died. If you've ever had a visitation dream, you know the difference between a visit and just a dream. Visitation dreams are so real and vivid, like you're awake, but you're not. You remember every detail, not just bits and pieces of the dream. This night I was asleep with my husband in our upstairs bedroom, and my daughters were asleep in their bedroom downstairs. I remember my dad coming. He was behind my headboard of my bed. He was healthy, not like he looked when he died after losing 100 pounds from the cancer. I was so excited. I was hyperventilating. I said to him, "You came." Even though his mouth did not move, he said, "I told you I would." I could feel his big smile, even though his lips did not move at all. I had so many questions. I could not get them out fast enough. I asked, "Are you okay? Where are you?" He responded, "I'm on level 3. I did not know what that meant, but I did not ask, and he did not elaborate. I asked, "Do I still need to pray for you?" He chuckled and said, "Well, sure." That phrase is something he would say whenever I asked him questions he thought was silly. He'd then ask me, "How's your mother?" I replied, "She's fine. She went to Michael's baseball game yesterday. He told me to take care of your mother." He then said, "It's time for you to get up for work." I could hear my daughter's tiny footsteps coming up the stairs. I remember thinking, "No, don't wake me up." I did not want to go, him to go. A few seconds later, my daughter was at my bedside and he was gone. He's not visited me since. I've had dreams about him, but never a visit dream. I miss him dearly and cannot wait for him to visit again. Thank you for hearing my story. I have other supernatural experiences that I'll share with you another time. Love your podcast. Well, shit. He's on level 3. I guess this proves Scientology has something going on.
Oh, crap. I wonder how much he had to spend. The money.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite kind of stories, though, because it just kind of gives you some hope that, because I've had that dream and she's so right, mm-hmm. that it's just different. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you woke up that you talked to him, mm-hmm. you know, you did. It's just like you and I are talking right now. I know we're talking.
Yeah.
It's that kind of real. Which is different normally with a dream, you know, like you're flying or something. You know, there's sure. weird shit that happens.
Of course.
And
maybe in jail.
Yeah. But I just, those are just really, really touching to me. And just that don't go away, but they have to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was watching the, what's it called? It was on, I think it's on Amazon Prime. It's the psychic Uber driver or whatever. That's not the name of it. But he's like a psychic ride share guy.
Oh my God.
So people get into his car and he's like, "What's your name? How you doing today? Do you believe in psychics?" And some of them are like, "No." And others are like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I'm a psychic." And it's pretty fun to watch. Like,
is he good or?
I mean, I like to think he's great. Like, I like to.
I gotta watch this.
I would like to, for it to all be real, because I really believe in that sort of thing. I really do.
I do too. And I believe there are certain people that truly, legitimately have that ability. I don't know if the psychic Uber driver does, but I haven't seen the show, so I'll reserve judgment.
He just says rideshare, so I don't know. Okay. He could be Uber. He could be whatever.
But because I did a bit on the radio years ago that sounded almost as ridiculous as that. Where people would call in, and it was Chet Jameson, the bowling psychic, and people would call and they'd be like, "Okay, who do you want to communicate with?" And they'd like, "Aunt Linda." "Okay, hang on one second here. Let me take a bite of my nachos." And they'd like sound effects like I'm eating nachos. "Hang on. That picture, I'll take a little bit more out of the picture, Linda. Thank you. Thank you. Love you, honey." Okay, I got the bowling ball. And then you hear like the sound effects of the bowling alley. I'm going to line up. And however the pins align themselves is going to tell me the message.
That's not exactly how you
from your loved one. And so like you make the sound effect of the bowling ball hitting the pens. It's like, "Okay, I'm getting is there someone with a letter M in your life? An M, M, N, M?" And you maybe like say three things and you're gonna get a hit. Yeah, okay, yeah. And then and it's a he. And he wanted to really let you know about that thing that was really on your mind. Yeah. And you just be, I did it as a spoof. I was not trying to like hurt people or anything like that, but I tell you what, it ain't hard to do that act and for people to believe it, because I had people believing the act and it was blatantly a spoof and they thought they were communicating with God only knows who. And
now, I have seen Teresa Caputo.
Sure. Yeah.
And she, like, I'm like, okay, so if she's just randomly, because she gets out literally in the audience, mm-hmm. that awkward, like when people go to get a beer and you're like watching the show and everybody's kind of got to stand up or scooch over somehow so you can get past. That's what she does. Like she goes through the rows like that and then she'll be like, you over there. Okay, I'm coming. And she goes out of that row and up there. Like she goes all over that theater. And I'm like, man, she would have to have some people planted in there. And it, not saying that that couldn't happen.
Planted or
is that it feels so real.
The thing is, and I'm not, I'm not discounting her. I'm just saying.
I do. But I love her.
I'm saying theoretically, here's how this could go. You're doing a live show.
About the psychic Uber driver or whatever, the ride share driver. The thing about that also is that that can be edited. You know, it's one completely. Thing when you're in a room and Teresa Caputo's doing readings.
Yeah.
It was like, was fascinating because she read the people one row in front of me and about three rows over. And to watch them, you know, when somebody thinks their mother just came through and the tears and like it.
But does she start by going, I'm getting a name of this and then
super specific.
And then a couple. And then a couple more super specific things. Who is that? Who is that? Is that, and then is that how she finds the people?
Oh, but there was times where people would raise their hand and then she'd be like, no, it's not. No.
So here's how I think that, go ahead.
But yeah, I could totally see how that could be done.
Yeah. And then not necessarily putting fake people in the audience, but how many letters do you think she gets prior to a live event?
No, the crazy thing is, and the Seatbelt Psychic was doing it too. Maybe that's the name of it, Seatbelt Psychic, something like that. But the other, but his could be edited, you know, because with Teresa Caputo, I was in the room.
Yeah.
And so that was different because it can't be edited. It's live.
It can't be. But if she like just read some of the letters and there was some, I really loved to try and communicate with my Uncle Larry who died in a car crash in Oregon.
It wasn't like that. It was very specific things.
Okay.
Like she would say, there's a car accident. And they would be like, lots of people, right? Mm-hmm. Car accidents. And she goes, they came around a corner and there was a sheep in the road. That wasn't.
Okay.
I was in Ireland and that happened to me. But you know, it was super specific what she was asking. And then there'd be like, so she would get super specific really quick. And then there'd be like one person, like that was me.
And I believe people can do that. I think there are certain ones. I'm always like, just be cautious, you know, and look at how their method is working.
Oh my God. Yes. But this guy yesterday, when I was watching sometime over the weekend, when I was binge watching the show, like he was talking about people dying. And when you said the level three, he was like, you know, whoever this person was in this one episode, like this person's very special. Like they went to this other level, like that person who, you know, it's like this whole other thing.
They're in the fucking VIP room.
Like I think he said it was like an angel and he goes, you know, what I'm seeing is an angel. And that's somebody who's really, and then he told somebody else, and this is something I've always kind of thought about, that the only thing that makes sense about living right now is that there's some reason, and what would make a reason is like you're here to experience something or learn something or grow from something or relive something or a do-over. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he said that, like, you know, he told one person, like, you know, you're here to experience this, whatever it was, I can't remember. And I'm like, some of that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, back in the day, like when I was young and smoking weed and looking for the meaning of life, like I read lots of books on that stuff.
Sure.
And I think especially when you're smoking a lot of weed, you know, it does make a lot of sense. But I just thought it was interesting and it made me think of him about the whole level three thing.
Yeah.
Like he didn't just die. Like he went on. Like he's a powerful being. I don't know what happened.
He found Zeno in the volcano. And,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
and hopefully he didn't have to pay for all that shit.
Did you ever, when you were young and dumb and wondering about all this?
Weed?
Well, not the weed, but did you ever like pick up like Dianetics or anything and explore what the hell that all
one
is all
time,
about?
I didn't, but I was like, what the fuck with the Scientologist?
Yeah, I was curious.
It was more like that. And so I gave the number a call and it was like, God dang, leave me alone. Like, I just wanted to know, like,
yeah.
This free counseling session sounded kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
But.
And it, at its very core base, it is intriguing. And it's like, oh, and I think that there are certain tenets of the early on stages of Scientology that are not bad because they're basically facets of psychology and psychiatry is all they are. It's just they kind of stole them and called them something different over there. But then you start getting deeper and deeper and deeper and like, oh, you told us all this shit.
Yeah, made me really uncomfortable. Yeah. I could never even do the meeting.
No.
I'm like, you know,
no.
I'm so busy.
I was, I don't know, like 25, 26. I tried to read the book. I downloaded the audio book. I had just moved to Wichita and I think I was curious about it. Not that I really wanted to join. I was just more like, what is this all about? Cause all you hear,
like Kirstie Alley was in Wichita part-time.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley's house is there. Scientology Center is right next door. And I'm like,
literally
okay.
It is.
Yeah. I'm just like, what is this? So I never like went there, but I tried to listen to Dianetics cause I was just reading on the internets of, you know, 2004 or five, like, oh, that's where people start to kind of get a better understanding. And I read it and I was like, what the fuck was that? And it wasn't like in a good way either. I was just like, okay, no, this is a bridge too far for me. And then just like learning, you know, you educate yourself a little bit about the guy. And he's this fucking loon that wrote all these like science fiction novels and then created a religion that basically incorporated his science fiction novels. And people, I don't know. I mean, I can say I get it, but I at a certain point, you got to go, what the fuck am I doing? But. I don't know. That's
don't even get me started on that show.
I know. I love the Leah Remini show about it because it's just, yeah. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I'm the mother that had called previously in regards to her daughter. And there's actually been a couple episodes on her just knowing things that she should not, and how it began at an early age that she saw people, and then this person started coming to her in her dream, and then my daughter started having some health issues. We have taken her, you guys had done the last update on how I was taking her to doctors, and then we were getting second opinions, that sort of thing. We have also seen, you know, just to help with mental health, just for L, I'm going to call her L. And if you go back in the back, in the beginning, I'm sure you know her name, but L, we'll just say L. We, you know, also kind of touch lightly in that aspect, not only with, you know, with her initially, and then other doctors. We've also got second opinions. They have diagnosed her with a very simple bout of what you consider GERD, the gastric reflux disease. We are, you know, addressing that and just taking it step by step just to make sure that's not it, rolling it out. It seems as though she's doing better. She's cut the meat out of her diet. So, you know, eating a little bit differently, following a better plan, all that sort of thing, has taken, you know, some, I don't believe it was ever anxiety, and perhaps it was internalized trauma or anxiety, just because, you know, the way she knew the things that she knew was through this girl, number one. She was very comfortable with this girl from the beginning, and her energy, and also being able to see things, I never thought that as anxiety, and then one day I just did, and that's why we addressed it in other issues in other ways and spoke with her, and again, professionals, mental health professionals. But the things that she knows, when she tells me things, you know, there's some things I can tell you, some things I cannot. When I have asked her, you know, why are the things that you cannot tell me? Is it because, you know, it's something negative and so bad, or that you're being told? The main thing is, are you being told not to tell me? And she's like, no, what? She's like, some things I know I shouldn't tell you, just because, you know, even if you tried to change them, you could not, even if it's something minute, but in changing them, it would change a bigger picture. I guess kind of like the butterfly effect. And, you know, I kind of explained that aspect to her because she is now older. This did begin at an early age that she has seen this lady for a while, but she's seen other things her entire life, what she would call the gray people. But anyway, we're dealing with everything. She still has the dreams. She still has the premonitions. She can tell me, hey, you need to buy this small appliance. And I'm like, why would I do that? We have the small appliance already. And she's like, okay, I'm just telling you. And then a few days later, it'll go out. And she's like, I told you, you should have bought that small appliance because, you know, it was going to go out. I just knew it was. It is a blessing and it's a curse. When you see other people do it, and I've talked to a dear friend that kind of understands this as an outlet for myself and the other members of my family, because it involves this all. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you see other people do it, it's like, oh, that's such a blessing because it brings such peace to other people's families, even though it's hard for them sometimes to hear things. But when it's your own daughter, it's like, you know, you don't want people thinking she's crazy or doubting her, and then you don't want her thinking the same thing. And I'm so blessed that God has made her so confident in herself. She's the most confident person in the world, and I think it's almost to the degree that she's cocky, and I've always said that. But in a, you know, I think he needed to make her that way so that she could be confident enough to say, no, this, you know, I've got to shut this down, or, yeah, I need to hear this, and I can hear this, and I'm capable of hearing this, and I hope that's it. I pray that's it. I'm just trusting God on this one and praying about it. But again, I do appreciate you guys so much because it's such a nice outlet to be able to speak in regard to something that is obviously not a light subject, nor, you know, there's a lot of judgment that comes with it. So I appreciate it more than you will ever know. Thank you, everyone, from Carol to Tony and everyone that I've not said. I appreciate you guys all listening and just your input. Thank you so much.
Speaking of small appliances, the other day, Harper, we were at the store, and she's like, oh, my God, Dad, we have to get the Ronco Showtime rotisserie. I said, honey, why would we need to get the Ronco Showtime rotisserie? Dad, we just need to get it. Trust me on this. We need to get it. Like, honey, why? Do it, Dad. And she got really kind of like her voice almost started sounding like it was almost like two-tone. It was like, do it, Dad. You need to get the Ronco Showtime rotisserie. It's like, honey, this is such out of character for you. And like, you're going to like make people look at us. We're here in Target. We're just trying to pick up a couple things.
Showtime rotisserie. The depths of hell call you to get the Ronco Showtime rotisserie. Father, you will.
Like, okay, hon, we'll get the Showtime rotisserie.
Which was just another day in the life of you and Harper.
It's great. She's like, thank you, Daddy. I'm glad we can have roast chicken now.
I love it so much.
You are welcome, honey. I love you very much.
I love you too, Father.
And her head spun around and she went back and she was happy. We had some nice herb-baked chicken. And it was a lovely evening. I had to put some light on it.
Oh, Tony. Okay, so back to the woman who called. I do want to say I'm very glad that she called, because when she called a while back, the first time that I remember her calling in, she was talking about her daughter, and both you and I were like, she needs to go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Because she had some medical issues. So I'm really glad that they did that. And that whole stomach GERD thing, mm-hmm. I can relate to that because I got similar issues myself. I had to quit eating meat a very long time ago, and it was life-changing. Mm-hmm. And some people just can't digest it. Yeah. And, you know, and it really makes a huge difference on what you eat if you're someone like for me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't explain the other shit that was going on with her. You know, so it was really like two separate issues. And, you know, it's almost like it's interesting because we were just talking about Teresa Caputo and the Uber psychic guy. But it'd be interesting if you could, if you had someone like them, like someone you knew who legit had that ability mm-hmm. and they could talk to her.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be like, you know, just for the mom to go, how do you parent, number one? How do you parent a child who's like telling you things about people who have passed and weird things they shouldn't know about?
Yeah. I mean,
how do you parent that child?
You listen, I get, you just kind of let them do their thing and you listen and you don't discount it. And I mean, some things that you can act on, some you kind of just got to let go. But I mean, it's almost, you know, and it's a totally different situation, but it's almost like how someone has to deal with a loved one that may be suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. You can't sit there and argue with them and tell them that this is not what you're feeling or having. Or, you know, yeah. So it's like, just let them do their thing and they'll be okay. And usually with kids.
That's a weird analogy, but it really works.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people are always trying to correct those people yeah. like, no, that yeah. did not happen, Grandma. And, or no, yeah. Grandma, that happened in 1950. Grandpa's been dead for yeah. 50 years. And it's like to Grandma that he's still yeah. here.
If she's sitting there
and go with her.
If she's sitting there thinking he's in the other room fixing a drink and he's going to walk out that door, why do you need to take it upon yourself to remind her that he died 50 years ago? It's yeah. like, I'd be the biggest asshole old person if my kids were doing that to me. I'd be like, thank you for making my day shit. I couldn't just sit here and feel that for a little bit or think that. No, you had to remind me. Do you feel better about yourself now for doing that? Thanks. Then no one will ever visit
yeah,
me.
I heard a story once about a woman whose mother had brain trauma.
Yeah.
Like there was a car accident or yeah. something. It was this weird short-term memory circle of memory.
Yeah.
And she's like, every day I have to tell her that my dad died.
Mm-hmm.
And every day she goes through this. And I'm like, why are you telling her that? Why aren't you just telling her, you know what? He went for coffee. He's going to be back in just a little bit.
Just let her think it. Yeah.
Let her think it.
Why not?
Why are you telling her that every day?
She's in a happier place. I know. It is. It's just like, let's keep bringing everybody down to the reality that I'm living in. It's like, and you know what? Great. You get to do that. But you know what? They're old now. And probably at one point in their life, they had to be in your shoes too and be the one that was strong for the other person. How about you take that fucking note and try and be strong for the other person
yeah.
and just let them go along with it? I know.
And so for a child with that ability, you know, I don't think I would want to be startled by it. Like,
no.
I wouldn't want to be like, oh my God, what'd you just say?
You watch the behavior, and if it continues for too long or something, or turns into an issue, then yeah, I mean, look at talking to somebody. But in most cases, this stuff passes with children in 99% of the cases.
You know, maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Yeah.
Obviously, Teresa Caputo and the seatbelt psychic guy didn't.
Exactly.
But
I mean, you just watch it. And if it does continue, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I mean, unless you're looking at something where there is something that is truly a mental illness going on and not something else. But that's where you just kind of got to look at it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but it may, like, after hearing that phone call, I actually feel much better. That, because at first, I remember the one time she called, I was like, both you and I were like, please take her to a doctor. You need to start ruling stuff out because she was having real problems.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that diagnosis isn't exactly pleasant.
Yeah.
I should know, but it's manageable.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and I hate a child to be diagnosed with something like that. Kids should be able to go eat whatever they want to eat. But
exactly. But it is a nice skill to be able to command that mom gets specific small appliances. I have another incident the other day. We were at Bed Bath & Beyond. And I was like, hey, Harp, look at that. And she's like, that.
I like, the scourge of Carpathia, the sorrow of Moldova, combined command you to buy that Snuggie.
And I was like, Harper, it's just, it's a Snuggie, but command me.
From me, a child that I must live again.
A child?
I mean, a Snuggie. I need a Snuggie.
A Snuggie?
A Snuggie. On a mountain of skulls in the castle of pain, I sat on a throne of blood. What was will be.
What will be no more.
Now is the season of evil.
Can we just check out and use this like $5 off coupon, Harp? Is that okay?
Death is but a doorway.
Time is but a window. Snuggies are forever.
It's like, okay, we're going to use a coupon and we're going home. Stop with this shit, honey.
Like, I'm seriously crying because...
You know, I laughed so hard. I was quoting the sound effect reminded me so much of Viggo in Ghostbusters 2, the creepy guy that comes out of the painting. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go find some Viggo quotes and we're going to attribute them to Harper buying a Snuggie, because that's just the natural progression of how things work.
Oh, I love the way your brain works. Oh, sometimes it just kills me.
It's creepy when Harper takes on the personality of a Carpathian warlord. It happens. I mean,
it's just another day in the life at the Brewski
House. It's what happens when you're a single dad. It just happens. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And you'll help keep the show afloat and get all the bonus materials as well. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.